So we are up to the Chof Hei Omid Aleph. We're up to the two dots. Malva Beribis. Yesterday we dealt with the whole issue of Asmachta. We finished now that part of the Mishnah which deals with Mesachik Bekuvio. And we're now moving on to Malva Beribis. Malva Beribis. If somebody lends Beribis, let's just remind ourselves, very important, the Tosas. We keep having to refer back to the Tosas that we saw last week because Tosas told us that all of these psulim are midrabbanan. Why is it midrabbanan? After all, if you lend beribis, that's an issa min ha-Torah, not midrabbanan. So Tosfos said one of two things. Either we're not actually dealing with ribis min ha-Torah, we're dealing with ribis derabbanan. And then Tosfos says, to be perfectly honest, even if we are talking about ribis min ha-Torah, but that doesn't render you a ganav min ha-Torah. After all, if I lend you $100 and I charge you $120, yes, that is what we call ribis katsutso. It is stipulated ribis. It's not that you volunteered to give me a gift afterwards, and it's ribis min ha-Torah, but I'm not technically stealing from you. I didn't go into your pocket and steal $20. I stipulated that this is my charge, and you quite happily paid it. So if it's not absolutely gezel min ha-Torah, and therefore, even if the Mishnah is talking about ribis, min ha-Torah, but nonetheless, the psul edus would only be midrabbanan. That's what we saw in Tosfos. So now let's move back into the Gemara, brand new sugya, daf chof hey omud aleph. It's about the 10th line from the top. First word on the line is lahafla'o, malve beribis, says the Gemara. Oma rova, loive beribis posul le'edus. Now, what does that mean, loive beribis? We know, translation, malva means lender, loive, borrower. The Mishnah does not tell us, what about the guy who borrowed beribis? Is he also posel min ha-Torah? The Mishnah only talks about the malva beribis. So Rav is telling you a chiddush, the loive is also posel. Now, we need to know a little bit of hilchas ribis over here. In your standard ribis case, Reuven and Shimon, Reuven lends money to Shimon. Reuven is the malva, Shimon the borrower is the loiva, and Reuven lends $100 and charges Shimon 120. No question about it, the malva has been over an issa min ha-Torah. What about the loiva? The poor loiva who's been exploited and charged 120, even though he only received 100, is he the poor innocent victim, or is he also over an issa? So have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, loive beribis, but halfway down the omad, loive beribis posseledus. Why? Says Rashi, dekai malon, because we hold, this is the Gemara in Daf, Ayin Hay and Bob Messias, right at the end of his own Eshech. Hamalva v'haloive. Underline the word v'haloive. The lender and also the borrower, oivrin beloisase. So Rashi's not telling us a chiddush. It's not Rashi's chiddush. It's a mafurish of Gemara. I think, in fact, it's a Mishnah. That not only the malva, the lender, but also the loive, the borrower, is also over an issa d'oraisa of borrowing beribis. The kev and the chimud mamon. And seeing as his desire for money, ma'aviroi aldas, caused him to be over an issa, therefore have a lay ka rosha d'chamos. What's the critical letter there? We medayed this in the previous omen as well. Rashi did not say, Havalei Rosha Chomos. He's a Rosha who is a thief. Kuh. You have to underline the kaf. And this confirms and is in perfect fitting with the Rashis we saw. Remember, Rashi spoke about Me'ein Gezela and Kuh Rosha. The Lashon of the Torah is that an Eid cannot be a Rosha Chomos. So a classic Rosha Chomos is obviously a Ganav. That wasn't even taught to us in the Mishnah because it's so obvious it's Mefurish and Apostolic. I don't need a Mishnah for that. All the cases of the Mishnah, and again, this brings us once again back to the Tosfos, are all pasul midrabbanan because they are like gezeila. So this loiver knows full well that you cannot not only lend, but also you cannot borrow beribis, and he nonetheless did so. Why did he do so? Well, clearly because he needed the money. So ultimately, his desire, his need for the money, caused him to be over an issa, and therefore that is a type of Rosh HaChomos. Any monetary desire which causes you to be over an issa renders you k'rosha and therefore posel eidus. So says Rashi again, v'kiven d'chimud mamoin, because his desire for money, ma'aviroi aldas, caused him to transgress his religion, havalei k'rosha d'chomos. He is like, not obviously the same, but like a Rosh HaChomos, the over nami aloisase, because he's also, at the end of the day, he's over the loisase, all because mipnei chimud mamon, because of his desire for money. Now, we may well differentiate between him and the malva. The malva's desire for money is obviously just to make profit at somebody else's expense. The loiva is not trying to make profit, he just clearly needs the money. He needs the money. He's got to pay his rent. So he's so desperate to pay his rent. Can please lend me 5,000 shekel and I'll pay you back 6. But nonetheless, it's his desire for money. It's a monetary interest which cause him to be over an issa, and that will make you k'rosha d'chomos. Okay, so back into the Gemara again. Omar Rav loive beribis posel le'edus. As Rashi explained to us, because the loiva is also over an issa d'oraisa when he borrows beribis, just like the malva is over an issa d'oraisa when he lends beribis. Says the Gemara, v'ho'anan t'nan, but didn't we learn in the Mishnah, malva beribis, question mark. Doesn't say in the Mishnah loiva beribis, it says malva beribis. So how can Rava say that the loiva is also posel eidos? The Loshna of the Mishnah seems clearly to indicate that it's only the malva. Says the Gemara, no. Milve habo'o beribis. Malve means the lender. Milve means alone. So the way you have to learn the Mishnah is not malva, the one who lends, but a milva, a loan that comes about through ribis. Well, who's involved in that? Both parties. So you're misreading the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not talking about the lender, it's talking about the loan. Have a look at Rashi. Milva haboba ribis, umashma atarvaihu. Tarvaihu means both. Therefore, the mashmos of the Mishnah is it's going on both. The loan that comes about through ribis puzzles him from Eidos. Puzzles who? Anybody who's involved in the loan. So we're not pointing dafka at the malva any more than the loiva. Says the Gemara, bar binitus. Bar binitus. Ashidu be tre sadi. There was somebody called Bar Binitus. Ashidu testified, Bay, against him, Tresadi, two witnesses. So two witnesses had the following testimony to say about this fellow called Bar Binitus. Now, what did the two Edim say? Chad Omar, one of them said, Ledidi, Oizfi beribisa, which I think means, correct me if I'm wrong, Rabbi Yosef, to me he lent beribis.
Where are you? Hadoma kame didi azif beribisa. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I missed out a line. Kame didi, it was in front of me that he lent beribis?
Yeah.
V'chad Omar, it was ledidi oizfi beribsi.
Yeah,
So one aide said that he, Barabinitas, lent Beribis in front of me, and the other aide said it was actually to me. So what's the common denominator between both of these aidim? They're both testifying that he lent Beribis. The only question is, are they
Settlement.
testifying that he lent Ribis to me, or it was in front of me, but I wasn't the borrower? But either way, we definitely have two Edim who testify that he lent Beribis. Says the Gemara, Posle Rava Labar Binitos. So Rava now passeled Bar Binitos. What does it mean he passeled him? You are clearly no longer now a valid aid going forward, because we now have two aidim who have testified that you lend Beribis. One of them said it took place in front of them. The other one said actually it was to him. Therefore, we have two aidim to say that you lend Beribis. You are posel leedus as a malbe Beribis. Says the Gemara, one second, there's a problem with this story. Vaharava, it was Rava himself who da Omar. He is in fact the one who said, as we just learned 2 minutes ago, that loive baribis pasul leidus. So something, there's a big problem inherently in this story. Again, who are our two witnesses? Reuven and Shimon testified against this Bar Binitus. Reuven said that Bar Benitos lent Beribis in front of me, and Shimon said it was actually to me. Now, one second. If it was to me, then Shimon was the borrower. And if Shimon was the borrower of Ribis, well, he's just incriminated himself, so he himself is posel eidos. So something doesn't make sense in this story. How can Rava have pasled Bar Binitos from Eidos when one of the two Eidim, in fact, testified that he himself borrowed Beribis, which therefore, by definition, disqualifies him from being an Eid? So I don't actually have two kosher Eidim testifying against Bar Binitos because one of them is saying that he borrowed Beribis. Without Rava, what would we have said? Based on the Mishnah alone, we would have said, I don't know, maybe a borrower Beribis is not possible. The Mishnah only says a malva Beribis. But Rava was the one who said that no, it's not just the malva, it's the loiva as well. So if I've got these two Edim, Reuven and Shimon says that Bar Binitos lent Ribis to me, not just in front of me, to me, then in other words, what are you in fact saying? I am a loiva Beribis. Well, if you're a loiva baribis, then your eidos doesn't count for anything anyway. So, how many eidim have I got in the final analysis against Bar Binitos? Only one. So, why did Rava passel him? You've got to have two eidim to passel him. Let's have a look again. Vaharava. Surely Rava, who da Omar, he's the one who said that loiva baribis posel leidos, that somebody who borrows baribis is posel for eidos, in which case vahavalei rosha. So this guy Shimon, he himself is a rosha because he's posel for eidos, because he's a borrower baribis. Vatoira omra, and the Torah says, quote unquote, al toshes rosha eid, that a rosha cannot be an eid. Question mark. So for this story is inherently flawed. If one of the two Edim are saying, not only did Bar Binitas lend Beribis, but in fact he lent me Ribis, well then you've just claimed that you are the loiva. And if you're the loiva, then you yourself are a Rosha and you're posel Eidos. Well, if your Eidos doesn't count for anything, says Rashi. Bar Binitas Oizif. What does that Oizif mean? Rashi says Hilva, he lent. Vahavalei Haisada, this witness, we called him Shimon, is a Rasha. Why is he a Rasha? Daha Oidi. What does Oidi mean? He's been Moida, he's admitted the Loiva Baribis. He clearly admitted that I borrowed Baribis because he said that Barabinito has lent Ribis, not just in front of me, but to me. Well, if that's the case, you've just incriminated yourself and you yourself apostle for Eidos. So why did Rava passel Barabinitos when in fact it turns out we don't actually have two Edim against him because one of the two Edim has incriminated himself, therefore disqualified himself because he's a loy veribis. I'm only left with one aid. Says the Gemara, Rava l'ta'ame. Rava is following his own reasoning. What did Rava say? The Omar Rava, Adam Korov Eitzel Atzmoy, Ve'ein Adam Mesim Atzmoy Rasha. Just like we know that you cannot testify against a family member or for a family member, a Korov is Posel Eidos. So Rava says every person is a Korov of themselves. And you cannot testify anything for or against yourself, which means, therefore, you have no right to make yourself into a Rasha. If I come to Bezdin and I say, Bar Binitos lent me ribis, then that me word we ignore. Why do we ignore? Because you have no ne'emonos. We cannot believe that part of the Eidos that pertains to you yourself, because then you're rendering yourself a Rasha. You cannot make yourself into a Rasha. So what remains of his Eidos then? Just the fact that Barabinitos lent Baribis. The fact that you add that it was to me, that to me bit will cut out. Why? Because you cannot testify against yourself. When he said that Barabinitos lent me ribis, really there were two halves of that Eidos. Part of it was about Barabinitos, and part of it was about himself. The part that was about himself, we cut out. Why? Because Rava is the one, by the way, we've learned this Rava a long, long time ago. It was actually in the first parak, when we spoke about when a person testifies that somebody else could have had relations with him or an animal, etc., etc. So if I'm testifying that somebody else had illicit relations, fine, so I could be a kosher eid. But if I'm saying I myself had these illicit relations, I'm not believed. So therefore, when he says that Barabinitos lent ribis, who did he lend it to? He lent it to me. So the to me part we cut out, which by the way is a chidush, because you might have said, well, if I cut part of it out, maybe the whole thing disappears. But no, we don't say that. The to me words we ignore. What remains of his testimony? That Bar Binitos lent Baribis, allied with the fact that we have another guy, Ruvain, who said the same. So I do have two Adim who said that Bar Binitos lent Baribis, and that's why Rava passeled him. Let's have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Rava Latame, the Perek Kama. Rava in the first Perek said, the Ain Adam, Mesim, Atzmai, etc. You cannot deem yourself a Rasha. Einoi, Yochoil, Lifsoil, Atzmai. You cannot disqualify yourself, I'll piv, with my own mouth. There's no such thing. Why? Doho ein Koroiv meid. Because a Koroiv can never testify. Loi lizchus, v'loi lechoiva. Not to make him innocent, not to make him guilty. A korov simply cannot testify. And therefore, the odom korov eitzel atzmoy. A person is considered a relative of himself. And if you're considered a relative of yourself, imagine a guy would walk into Bezdin and say, I would just like to tell you, I was Mechalel Shabbos last week. What would they do to him? Nothing. Because that's exactly the same as saying, my brother was Mechalel Shabbos. Sorry, you cannot testify against your brother. You're a korov. Well, so too, you're a korov of yourself as well. Yes, Rabbi.
Isn't there a hava mina to say, okay, Adam korov la'atzmo, and therefore, when he says, this guy's guilty of lending Baribis because he lent to me, right? That he's incriminating himself as a borrower. Therefore, he cannot be partake at all. Adam Karov La'atzmo, meaning like you can't even put yourself into this conversation because you're incriminating yourself by saying I was the borrower.
That's
and
not
that
what
but
that
the, no no they're saying he can say it, but we're going to pull out the fact that it was him. In other words, they're just removing the atzmo part to make him a good aide.
I stressed that before. I said it's a chiddush. Rather than disqualifying his entire edus, I just cut out the part that pertains to him. The part, like I said, there are two parts of this edus. Part one is that Bar Binitos lent Beribis. Part two is, it happened to be, it was to me. Those words, to me, we cut out. But there's no need to cut out the entire edus. There's no need to cut out the entire edus.
Let's say a guy's part of two edim. And he says, so-and-so was Michal Shabbos. How do I know? I was with him. I was also Michal Shabbos. So would you accept his edus? Or would you say, let's pull out the fact that he was actually Michal Shabbos?
We would accept his edus, but with regard to the fact that I was also Michal Shabbos, that bit we don't believe.
So we accept the fact that he can be an aide to say somebody else is Michal Shabbos.
Right, but with regard to the part of the Eidos that pertains to himself, that part is disqualified. So in the final analysis, it turns out that this Bar Binitos does, in fact, have two Eidim who are testifying against him. And even though one of them was incriminating himself at the same time, well, we'll just have to delete that part of the Eidos because with regard to that part of the Eidos, he's got no nemonus. But it doesn't mean that we don't have two Eidim. Of course, we have two Eidim. And that's why Rava said, I'm sorry, Bar Binitos, you are now possible for Eidos because you have clearly been proven in Beis Din with two kosher Eidim that you lent Beribis. Says the Gemara, another story. Hahu Tabcha. Now, this is a very sensitive story. Unfortunately, I think we can all relate to this because there have been stories like this recently. Hahu Tabcha, there was this butcher, meat seller, the ishtakich, it was found, the nafka, that it emerged, treifsa mitusa yode. He was selling treifas. Mitusa means from under yode, his hand. So again, the ishtakich, it was found, the nafka treivusa, that treifas emerged, mitachas yod, mitusa yode. Unfortunately, we have heard more than one of these stories in recent times when so-called reputable kosher Haredi butchers, and it turns out they were selling non-kosher meat, Rahman al-Islam, for reasons. Why would anybody do this? Obviously, because it's cheaper. And therefore, once again, he's a type of ganav. Because the reason why he is circulating this treifus, non-kosher meat, not that he has any desire to cause other people to be over averas, but rather it's my own desire for money that caused me to go for the cheaper stuff, even though it was causing Yisurim. And indeed, says the Gemara, Poslei Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman passeled him. Rav Yosef, how do they translate that next word, V'ovri?
Removed, I think. But yeah, and removed him from his position as butcher.
Butcher. So not only did they passel him, they did two things. Number one, they passeled him as an aide. Why did they passel him as an aide? For reasons just explained, because if he is selling tray for meat, then clearly once again, it is the fact that he has this quest for money that's causing him to do so. So he's like a ganav. Number two, they also removed him from his post, obviously, because we don't want this guy circulating non-kosher meat. What happened? Ozal. He went. Robi Mazye Vetufre. Robi means to grow. He grew. Mazye means his hair. The Tufrei and his nails. Why did he do that? Why did this butcher grow his hair long and grow his nails? So look at Rashi. Robi Mazye the Tufrei Higdil from the word godoil or godel, to grow. Higdil sa'aroi, he grew his hair. Vetziparno, and also his nails. Lenavel atzmoi. What does that mean, lenavel atzmoi? To cause himself to be very disheveled and messy. La'asois tshuva. This was part of his tshuva process. Part of his tshuva process was that he made himself look a terrible state, like a type of avelos. Just like we know somebody who's an avelos, he lets his hair grow long, he doesn't cut his nails. So too, he also let his hair grow, and he grew his nails to look all messy. And this was part of his tshuva process. So here comes an enormous question. Do we now reinstate him? He seems to be in chayzer b'tshuva. Says the Gemara, look back into the Gemara. Sova Rav Nachman la'achshurei. So Rav Nachman held that you can be machshe him. He can now be considered kosher once again, because clearly he has been chayzer b'tshuva, or at least seems to be that way. So even though initially he was disqualified and removed from his post, and everybody agreed that was the correct measures, but maybe now that it seems to be that he's been chayzer b'tshuva, perhaps now we can reinstate him. Says the Gemara, Omalei Rava. So Rava said, how do you know? Dilma, perhaps, irume komarin. Maybe it's a trick. Maybe he's just tricking us. Maybe he's got no remorse, no regret. He's not been chayzer b'tshuva. And the only reason why he left his hair to grow was precisely for you to think that he was chayzer b'tshuva in order to be reinstated. But how can you say with absolute certainty that he was chayzer b'tshuva? And as long as you cannot say that with certainty, well, how can he possibly be reinstated? Either to be an aide or to be a butcher once again. So how do we know that he's been chayzer b'tshuva? The fact that we see these external appearances, okay, that may be a good trick. Maybe he's tricking us. Says the Gemara, hello, my takante, ? So what would be his takana? How could he be masake in the situation? Everybody agrees that if he genuinely is chayzer b'tshuva, finish, he's not a rasha anymore. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives us, then we can also. But how can I tell if he's genuinely been chayzer b'tshuva? The fact that he's got long hair and long nails, maybe that's all just a facade. So my takante, what's his takona? How can he fix up the situation? Teretz is, keder of idi ba'ovin. He's got to follow the instructions of Rav Idi ba'ovin. What did Rav Idi ba'ovin say? The omar Rav Idi ba'ovin, ha-choshud al ha-treifus. If somebody is suspect with regard to treifus, like this fellow that we've been talking about, ein loy takona. He has no resolution. There's nothing to fix him up. Ad sheyelech lemokoim she'ein makirin oisei. Until such point that he goes to a place that nobody knows him, nobody recognizes him. So over there, there's no point tricking people because people don't know him anyway. So if he does so, he's obviously genuine. V'yachzir aveda b'dovar choshuv. Let's see if he's prepared to restore an aveda. If this guy walks along the street, remember, in a place that nobody knows him, so there's no point trying to trick anybody because he's not a butcher there, he's not an aide there, nobody knows him. Nobody knows his history. So he's going to go to this unknown place, he's going to walk down the street and find a prominent, expensive aveda, lost property. Now, let's send a drone and have a look what this guy does. If he gives it back, then what does this show us? Shows us he's no longer got this desire for money. If he would do so back in his hometown, then it's not a proof, because again, maybe he's just doing it to trick us. He knows that we're on the lookout, because this is his hometown. He knows his reputation over here has been ruined. He's got to build it up once again. So maybe that's why he's growing his hair. That's why he's growing his nails. That's why he's giving back an aveda. But But if he does so in some unknown town, nobody knows him, and we somehow surreptitiously manage to detect that he's given back this Hoshva Aveda, number one. Or alternatively, Sheyotzi Trefa Mitachas Yodoi B'dovar Hoshav Mishaloi. How do they translate that, Rabbi Yosef, that he gives up a trefa?
Sorry. Rechoza Aveda, B'dovar Hoshav.
Right, or the next thing?
He discards his own trefa meat of considerable value.
Right. In other words, again, whatever he does in his hometown is all irrelevant. But if he goes to this other town, and imagine again, we manage to detect, we install a camera in his home, and we see that he shechts his own animal, and whilst checking it, he discovers it's a trefa. What does he do with it? If he discards it and throws it in the garbage, so what do you see? You see that he's been chayza b'tshuva from the whole issue of treifas. Because if he was a Russian, didn't care about treifas, he'd jolly well eat it. Again, in his hometown where everybody's looking at him, none of this is a proof, because maybe it's all one big trick. Externally, he's trying to be a big tzaddik, he's growing his nails and he's growing his hair, and then he's as if he's giving back a Shabbos Aveda, he's careful on treifas, and it's all a big trick in order to be reinstated. But if he goes to a place that nobody knows him, nobody's following him, at least that's what he thinks, and we manage to detect that, in fact, he clearly no longer has a desire for money because he's given back an Aveda where he could have just slipped it into his pocket. Number two, he's careful about treifas because you see he came across a treifa himself and it was a davar chashuv. I'm not talking about a little chicken that was worth $5. I'm talking about a big behemoth that was worth $1,000. And he threw it out into the garbage, or at least didn't eat it. That clearly shows us that he's chayza b'tshuva. Let's quickly have a look at Rashi, because running out of time. She'ein makirin oisoi, where people don't recognize him. The tshuva d'hosam, because the tshuva he does over there, lav irumihu. That's not a trick, because nobody's looking at him. At least that's what he thinks. The yachzir aveda im yimtso avedas chaveroi. If he finds the lost property belonging to his friend and he gives it back, to kiven the machzir avedahu, seeing as he gave back this lost item, vadai hodarbe, he has clearly rescinded his behavior, michemdas momen, from his great desire for money, because you see quite clearly he could have easily slipped this into his pocket and never given it back. The fact that he gave it back shows us that he's really been chayza b'tshuva, and then indeed he could be reinstated.
Rabbi, maybe we learned this from Yosef. Because he hid from his brothers until